Thank you, Pastor John. So after the next three Sundays, then you can do whatever you want after that. And certainly that would you'd want to come here and continue to attend. Thank you, Pastor John and church, for allowing me to do this. One of these days I'm hoping to get back into actually pastoring again, but right now we're helping take care of my grandson. He's got a still bad cough after 3 weeks, so we got him some medicine this week, so that's why they're not here. But little prayers are always great, welcome and appreciated for our family. And so good to be here again. Just next 3 weeks, I just want to give some practical things for us. And one of the things that God laid upon my heart for today is tips for better witnessing. Yes. Now, growing up in the church, and I don't know if everyone had, you're here obviously, but at some point you probably heard a sermon on evangelism and the importance of evangelism. We need to get out and evangelize. But if you were like me, and that may not be what took place here, but growing up, I don't remember any sermons about how to do that. Because we're supposed to do that, but and it's important to do it, but and we have scriptures about it, but I just didn't remember much about that. And so it wasn't really necessarily a priority. I would invite people to church and such, and I knew in my heart that, you know, I needed to try to reach people, but I didn't really know what to say. And it really wasn't until I graduated from college and made a stronger commitment to the Lord, committed my life, and God opened up opportunities for me to go into ministry, where I had to start taking courses. And one of the courses that I took was a course on evangelism. And so that was when I started the process of learning what to say. And so I want to share some of those things that I've learned over the course of time with you. And so you don't have to take all of it, but maybe something may resonate with you to help you to be able to share. Now, understand that witnessing really, and I don't know who the quote was from, but witnessing is having a relaxed conversation about Jesus, and we leave the results to the Holy Spirit. It's our job to share, and we're supposed to be making disciples as well. And the Bible tells us that. All right, Matthew chapter 28, 19 through 20. This is the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And so the first step really in a discipleship is trying to reach people for Jesus. So they need to make that commitment to follow Jesus, ask forgiveness of sins, and receive Jesus Christ into their heart as Savior. And then we would go into another step of trying to convince them and encourage them and share with them to commit their lives completely to the Lord. And we consecrate ourselves, and then the Holy Spirit sanctifies that. So I've shared some on that. So here's the number one thing that I've learned. It's right. Just different methods. Just don't be a jerk.
Right.
So I'm sure no one's been there except for me here, because I sometimes was. And I got to look back and I say, man, why did I say that or do that? Or why was I that way? Well, I probably learned it from some other people and I watched them. I played a lot of sports and it was just a lot of tough coaching and things like that. And you'd yell at people and get mad at them. And, you know, if someone makes a mistake, you get on them. And I just, at some point, the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing there? You need to stop doing this. But that was kind of what I learned. And so I learned the opposite, that I want to, in my life, not do anything that's going to cause someone else to not know Jesus. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to, if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. So Jesus really takes us seriously about how we treat people. And I don't want to do anything in my life that's going to cause someone not to go to heaven. And so that would be kind of just basic step number one. And just to, even just to understand that any encounter that I have with other people, I am being Christ's ambassador and I'm being his representative. Anywhere I go, wherever I go, and if I do make a mistake, I am quick to apologize and say, I'm sorry, whatever the reason or excuse. I try right away to make amends and try to make things right, because it's important. I don't want to be that one that's going to have a millstone. All right, so next would be the Apostle Paul method. Now, he's got a better method. So let's see what his method is. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. He knew he wasn't going to save everyone. And the context of this is he's, and to the Jews, he's going to be like a Jew. To the Gentiles, he's going to be like a Gentile. That doesn't mean we're chameleons, and I'm going to be like a drug person, or I'm going to be like this that's going to be cause someone not to come to Christ. But I'm going to, in my culture, I'm going to try to adapt so that I can be an example and a witness for Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul would do. But not in the way that I'm just going to adapt to my culture. I'm going to stay with my beliefs, but I'm going to still try to infiltrate the culture and penetrate the culture to try to make a difference. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, it tells us, hang on a second, going backwards here. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. What was Jesus' mindset? He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross, so that he could help to reach us. And this is very, very important. So, again, what we do with other people and how we relate to other people is so very vitally important. It truly is. Years ago, I haven't played basketball for a little while. I love basketball. If I ever get back at it, it's going to be hard when I start up again. But I used to play when I was in Lebanon, Oregon. That was where I was at before I moved to Oak Ridge in 2017. And Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Boys and Girls Club, they played basketball. My boss, Sheridan Lehman, he was a basketball player. And so we'd go down there together, and it was not only fun, but it was an opportunity for us to witness. Now, when I first started, you got to understand the culture of basketball. Everyone's checking you out. And so they're trying to see how they can better themselves and maybe put you down, and they're going to elevate themselves, because there's just that competition that goes on, especially with people who aren't necessarily Christians. And this one individual, Dennis, he's a Russian immigrant. Years ago, and he loved to play basketball, and he was a tough guy. He really was. And so he would really try to get into it with me, but I'd always try to encourage him. Now, I didn't always do that, but I came to the point at some point that I realized that this is my mission field, and I'm going to make a difference. And so I just kept encouraging him, and he softened some, but I just kept working on it. Compliment him for different things. And I go, man, that was awesome that you did that. And that's not typically what takes place in basketball, but I really worked on him. And pretty soon, he's really like becoming better, not necessarily best friends, but better friends. And so he has me actually play on his team. And so we get to spend more time together. And I keep encouraging him and encouraging him. And pretty soon, we just like to play together, because we're developing this relationship. Now, fast forward a little bit. At some point, he has a tumor. And they don't know if it's cancer or not, but they have to remove it. And so, guess who he asked to pray with him at the hospital? That was me. And so, I say, man, I'd love to do that, Dennis. And so, it never got to the point where we had the opportunity to witness to him, but I was witnessing to him the whole time. But just to share exactly, but he saw something in me, and I got to believe that the Holy Spirit is continually working on his heart, because we ended up moving away. There's another person by the name of Daniel. He was a great basketball player, similar situation, very competitive. And after I left, Pastor Sheridan actually was able to lead him to Christ. And this is a guy that got kicked out of the church league because he was so angry. He swore at the referees, and as he's leaving the gym, I think he put up a couple of fingers, and it wasn't, "I'm your number one." And so he actually got removed from the church league. But Pastor Sheridan continued on, and he came to Christ. And so just understand that the time we spend with people and how we act towards them really truly does make a difference. All right, so now we got the Holy Spirit method. Is there no particular order? Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus' last instructions to the disciples before he heads up to heaven. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So it's important to understand that we have the power of the Spirit in us to be witnesses for Him, and we can utilize the power of the Holy Spirit. So how would we end up doing that? How does that take place? Well, one of the things is that we can invite people to where the Holy Spirit is. Certainly the Holy Spirit's here in church today. Every time I come here and we start singing and praising the Lord, I sense the Spirit of the Lord here. And other people can sense that as well. But another thing that we can do as Christians is invite them to things where, for instance, like a men's retreat or a woman's retreat. Unfortunately, the district sold our campground. And so right now it's a kind of a struggle to find somewhere to have camp for this summer. And I'm not going to say any more about that. But I will tell you this, that Camp Kellogg, if you've never been there, that was I consider it to be holy ground, really. Because when you would step on that campus, and you could just sense the Spirit. And there was an opportunity for people to encounter the Holy Spirit. And I really worked hard at bringing kids to be able to be there for our children and our youth camps in order to experience that. And I'm pretty much a 90% success rates that I experienced there with the kids that I was brought. Now, they might make the decision for Christ and come back, and it's still there, but they had some struggles and things like that. But those types of things is where the Holy Spirit was really powerfully moving. And it's really the Holy Spirit that's the one that convicts folks. It's not our responsibility to try to convict someone. Our responsibility is to try to help people to encounter the Holy Spirit. And so having the Holy Spirit in our own lives as well is important, but bringing them to activities and events and things like that in church where they can encounter the Holy Spirit is very, very important. One story that's, I don't know if anyone's old enough to remember, Billy Graham came to Portland back in the late 80s. Anyone remember that? So a bunch of people in our church were all excited about it. We had a old school bus that we'd bought for our youth. And so I drove a bunch of people up to Civic Stadium. I don't know what it's called now, but it's where the soccer team plays and the baseball. And it's a summer. It's pretty warm. So I'm looking up the stands, looking for a shady spot. And everyone's going, "Hey, there's seats down on the floor. Let's go down there." It's like 20 degrees hotter down there. So one of the girls that I brought from the youth group, Julie, I knew she wasn't a Christian. And I really wanted her to be able to listen and experience all this. And it was hot. And so I'm just going, "Oh, man." And I kept looking over at Julie. And, man, she's so distracted. And she's not getting anything out of it. And then Billy Graham gives the altar call to come. And she's looking around. She looks up. And off she goes. And she goes up to the front. She didn't hear anything of the sermon, but the Holy Spirit was so powerfully there that she accepted Christ, and she's probably, I'm going to say, 50-ish right now, because this is like many, many years ago. How many years ago is that? And so she is still following Jesus. She is still following Jesus. So those are some of the types of things. I got story after story, but don't have time for all that. But it's the Holy Spirit, folks, that's the key. And getting people connected to the Holy Spirit, however we can do that, God will use that. All right. Now, there is the be ready to give an answer method. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." So, I'm just going to give you a few of the things that I have experienced. One of them was evangelism explosion. If you've been around for a while, this is a program that came out back actually in the 60s. James Kennedy, the pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Florida, he started this. And we actually had, when I was pastoring Klamath Falls, we had a group that went down to Florida to actually take the training to do this. But they still have their information. And it comes really down to this. Two questions that you ask people. One is, when you die and go before God and He asks you, why should I allow you into heaven? What do you say? And then if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Now this works really well with people on their deathbed, but not necessarily. But I've utilized this because this is one of the first things. And so I had something to be able to share with people. Since then I've learned some other things. I'll share about it here in just a second. But this is one way that we can get the conversation going. If you buy the book, it takes you through a lot of different illustrations. It talks about different ways that if someone says this, you can counter with this. And we would actually have teams go out in Klamath Falls to go. If it was a visitor, we'd go and visit. And I know anymore, people don't necessarily like to have a surprise visit in their home. But this is just one thing that can be helpful. Another program came out called The Contagious Christian. This is by Bill Hybels through Willow Creek Church that was in Chicago, a huge church, and they expanded all around. And they came out with actual series videos and things like that. We did this in my church in Elko, Nevada. I don't know how well prayer services are attended, but evangelism classes are less attended. But we did it, and I learned a few things. So one of the first things they would have you ask a person, you're developing relationships, but do you ever think about spiritual things? And so you just get on the conversation, you get on the topic of being able to talk about the Lord. And one of the things, we don't try to just push things. You get too pushy and people back off. And then you want to keep that friendship and that connection. And then a lot of times they'll say, well, I believe this. And so you can come back with, well, it doesn't matter really what we believe if it isn't true. And everyone would certainly believe that. And they had videos. Nowadays you can buy CDs for it. We did a little bit of this when I was pastoring in Oak Ridge. But again, it's just something to get the conversation going. And then they have you prepare your testimony. So what was your life like before Jesus? How did you come to Jesus? And then what's your life like now with Jesus? And everyone can do that. It can be just a short, like you don't want to even go over a couple of minutes in this. Just make it brief. But that's something that you can even, probably you're starting to think right now about, okay, what was my life like before Christ? So I came to Christ at 7, so I'm sure I was a horrible person before that. I don't have much memory. I do remember that I got a spanking for climbing up the ladder that my dad had left for the patio. And I was 4 years old and I ran away. Apparently, that's what they tell me. I ran away down the block and I sat on a porch of one of the neighbors. So, horrible. Coming to Christ, and then what is your life like now, after Christ? And we can even be honest, you know, I got struggles in my life, but I have Jesus to help me. I really do. All right, next. There's the Ray Comfort Method. I don't know if you ever heard of this fella. He has his own ministries. Sometimes he works with Kirk Cameron. He does street preaching, but he's a speaker. And you can just Google him. He has tons of his little videos that are on YouTube. And so his method is, he starts to talk about it, and people talk about how they're good people, and he's asked, so have you ever sinned? And they say, well, not, you know, I'm a good person. And they say, well, then he gets into the matter. Are you willing to add up your... No, first off, he asks if you sin. So then he goes and says, okay, well, let's think about it. Have you ever lied? Okay, the Bible says that's a sin. Have you ever thought of a woman lustfully? If he's a person or even a woman. So that's also a sin. Jesus says that's committing adultery. And so he goes one thing to the next. Have you ever stolen? And so now he says, okay, well, actually, you are a sinner. And so now what do you want to do? Do you want to take your good things? So let's add up the bad things you might have done in your life. and compare them to the amount of good things. And let's say you might have done just maybe two or three bad things a day. So just your thoughts and how you think about things. You add that up. So let's just say 1,000. So you're talking about 365 times 3. But let's just go 1,000. What's your average lifespan now? The average lifespan is like 75. So now you're going to go before God and you're going to say, well, Jesus, I've only done 75,000 bad things in my life. And I'm going to compare those to the good things. He goes, no, we're sinners. And our righteousness is filthy rags. And so he really gets to the point of it. And I've actually used this. I've used it one time, and it really did work. We had a gal in our church, an older lady, and this is back in Klamath Falls. And she said, hey, you need to talk to my son. He got caught stealing at the store. He's going to bring his friends down, and I want you to get him saved. I go, okay. So here they come. And we got up at the altar. Okay, everybody. And so I started talking to his son. And I said, you need Jesus in your life. And your mom's wanted me to talk to you about this. And he goes, well, I'm not that bad of a person. I go, oh boy, I'm going to pull the Drake Comfort method out. And so I confronted him. Well, you just stole, and so you're a thief. And he goes, yeah. And so, able to lead him to the Lord. And then there's friends. Now, how about the rest of you? And so, I was able to lead them to the Lord. She called me another time, and she had me calling. You need to talk to my son who lives down in Texas with his girlfriend. You need to lead him to the Lord. Okay. So I call him up, and I go, this is Pastor Mark. I'm your mom's pastor. She told me to give you a call. She wants you to accept Jesus. Is that something you're willing to do? He goes, yeah. I go, oh, okay. So, led him to the Lord. And he wants me to talk to the girlfriend. So, is she there? Yeah. So, I talked to her and was able to point her to Christ as well. And I go, I'm not going to be with you at all. So, you've got to find a church where you can get plugged in. So, sometimes, folks, it's that simple. Not always. Trust me in that. So, Pastor John, if you get a call from one of your parishioners saying you've got to give a call to someone, do it. Do it. All right, here's the Terry Millage method. She was one of my parishioners in Elko, Nevada. Here's her what method. Invite the pastor over to your family gatherings. Every time they had, if we were in town, a lot of times we'd go to Christmas to visit my family, but Thanksgiving for sure, Elko, Nevada, it's like 13 hours from Portland. It's just out in the middle of nowhere. The closest place, I think, was Twin Falls, Idaho, 2.5 hours away. We were very isolated there. And so we would spend time with their family and then their extended family and their friends as well. And so pretty soon, we had a huge group, and we were going to take in membership, new members, and 19 of these people show up for the membership class. And I go, man, and we're a little church of 60 people. And so this is a big deal. I go, okay, let's start out with this. Is everyone here saved? You understand that we need to, in order to be a member, you need to have Jesus, receive Jesus, ask for forgiveness for your sins, receive him to your heart as your Savior. And being a Lord is also helpful as well. And so every one of those people received Christ. And so we took him into membership. I didn't see a lot of them after that, but they're members of the Church of the Nazarene in Elko, Nevada. And on that particular day, 19 of them got saved. That's never happened before or since. And then we had her daughter-in-law. She was coming, but she invited her mom. And I shared some of this story before. She's the one that was with a different religion, didn't understand or really trust that she was going to be going to heaven. And so she invited me over. She watched a commercial, and she ordered a book. It was Billy Graham commercial and Power for Living. She ordered it, read it, prayed the prayer at the end, said, I got to tell you, I can't really describe it, but I had a peace come over me that I've never experienced before in my life. And I go, you don't have to describe that. I know exactly what you're talking about. And so, able to help to encourage her, lead her daughter to the Lord. Again, sometimes those types of things happen. But it's because Terry invited me over because her family was important to her. She wanted them to know Jesus Christ. And so sometimes it's pointing people in the right direction. I'm not recommending that you invite Pastor John and Renee over to your house for all the functions. Get your family to know the church here, and to know the pastor, and to know Renee, and to know the good people here. That's so very important. I know that's easier said than done. We probably all invited people, and they go, I don't know about that. But don't give up. It takes like 7.5 times on average for someone to hear the gospel, to be encouraged in order to come to church. All right, I got some more. I'm going to save it for next week, but right now we're going to switch to communion. But I'm just hoping that you can just pick up a few of the things. The main thing is that evangelism and witnessing and reaching people for Christ is going to be important to us. Amen.